This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Since the coronavirus first started spreading here in Idaho, one concern for both the public and health officials has been the protection of people who live in nursing homes. But as March turned into April and then into May, the state remained tight-lipped about exactly how many cases of COVID-19 exist in which facilities. Well, now we know a lot more. Of the 83 coronavirus deaths in our state, 52 of those deaths were among residents or staff at nursing homes. After the Idaho Statesman threatened to sue the State Department of Health and Welfare, the agency released that list on Friday. Statesman reporter Audrey Dutton doggedly pushed for this information, and she is on the line with us live today to tell us more about what she's learned. Audrey, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, I want to get to the data in a few minutes, but first, big congratulations to you, and truly thank you for pushing for the release of this information. It is critical that we as citizens know this information. So with that being said, the state's website has been gradually getting more robust with information on COVID-19 cases, but this information on a very vulnerable population was not included. Do you think that was an intentional withholding?
Well, we know that the state was unwilling to release the names of the facilities and the number of cases at each facility. I put in a public record request in May asking specifically for that and was denied. But I have been able over time to get information from the state on how many cases were at long-term care facilities in general across the state, how many deaths were associated. And then some of the public health districts, like Central District Health, which covers Boise, they, when I asked them for the names of the facilities and the counts, they did provide the counts. So as far as intentional goes, yes, the state was unwilling to release the names up until now.
Do you have any knowledge as to why they would intentionally withhold that?
Well, the reasons that they provided were two laws and one administrative rule. But kind of generally, they didn't want to release private health information. And the sort of feeling there is that these facilities, in some cases, are the residents of the people who are there. They're not just patients, they're also residents. And giving out their address could reveal who they were. We didn't see that as valid, but that was kind of generally speaking, that's kind of what their contention was.
So then how does HIPAA play into this then? Because I would think that their argument is those HIPAA rules, basically kind of what you mentioned, right? You're giving out personal information. You could figure out who this individual is. So how does that play into it?
Well, HIPAA is the federal law, and it is very specific. I could go into the details of it, but it would take a really long time. So HIPAA is a federal rule, and in this case, the state relied on state rules or laws and rules to make its determination. But though the idea behind HIPAA is you don't want healthcare providers or health insurance companies or folks who do business with those entities to be giving out your personal health information. Of course you don't. So that's the idea behind HIPAA. And in this case, they were arguing that giving out the facility names would identify the location of where someone lives.
So then how were you able to then say, you know, I mean, you did, you were going to file a lawsuit. What do you think made then the state decide, well, we can give that information out if we may get sued?
I don't know. That's a question that you would need to ask the state. Other states have been giving out this information. Colorado has a very detailed list, not only of long-term care facilities, but they even have a bridge tournament on there as the kind of locus of an outbreak. They've got workplaces. So different states are approaching this differently, and increasingly more states are giving out this information. The federal government also is now requiring it to be disclosed and is putting it on the Medicare website.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Audrey Dutton. She's an investigative reporter with the Idaho Statesman. The Idaho Statesman had threatened to sue the state of Idaho because the state was not giving out information on nursing home facilities that have been hit with COVID-19. So, Audrey, I want to get to the data itself. Can you tell us what you learned on Friday and which facilities have been hit hard?
We have the list on our story, and we will continue to update that. The thing that I think my big takeaway was how hard the Magic Valley has been affected by this, has been hit. We know that they've had an increasing number of cases recently, and a lot of these cases, especially the ongoing ones, are in the Magic Valley in the Twin Falls area and in Buell. There were three facilities that had dozens of cases each. So that was something that I didn't know. And now we know that.
And were there other areas besides the Magic Valley? Because we had known about, a facility in Lewiston.
Right. Life Care Center of Lewiston. Right. So Nez Perce, County had a pretty high number for a while, and a high rate. They had many of the people who tested positive had died. And we think that that's probably partly because of testing itself. But so Life Care Center of Lewiston has had 54 cases and 18 deaths. And they do have an ongoing outbreak, according to the state, as of Friday. We, of course, would like for them to not have an ongoing outbreak anymore, and not see that continue to play out. We also have had an outbreak here at Avamere in Boise. They had 42 cases and 2 deaths. That is no longer ongoing. So what that means is that people aren't testing positive anymore. They don't have positive cases there.
And Audrey, with the Magic Valley, I'm not sure if you said this, was that outbreak in just one facility, or have we seen that in numerous facilities in the Magic Valley where you said it was really hit hard?
There are numerous facilities. There are some in Jerome, one in Buell, in Twin Falls. One facility has 48 cases, 11 deaths. It's an ongoing outbreak. Another facility, the Canyons, has 36 cases and 11 deaths and an ongoing outbreak. And the Times News has covered this a bit also, kind of explaining what's happening. And these outbreaks are not only tragic for the residents, they're tragic for the families and the staff as well at these nursing homes and assisted living facilities.
Right. And I want to get to that in a minute, but let's talk about the numbers for a second, because 52 of the 83 COVID-19 statewide deaths, that's how many have happened in these nursing home facilities. I mean, that is more than half of the overall numbers. Were you surprised by that number when you got that information?
Yes and no. I didn't. That number has increased pretty steadily. And so I was surprised to see that the ratio had gotten that high. It was about a half a while ago. And it's also not, unfortunately, surprising because of what we've seen across the country in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and then in Idaho, some of the group homes as well have been particularly hard hit. The folks who live there are very vulnerable to severe illness and ultimately death. And the staff who work there are, you know, they live in the community. They come in and out. Most of these facilities are pretty locked down. They don't have visitors coming in, but you do need to staff them. And so we've already had an issue with nursing homes and assisted living facilities having trouble getting enough nursing staff. When you add to that, if someone gets sick, they need to not be at work, or they need to be extra careful when they're at work. You know, it just compounds the issues there. So it's really problematic when you have one case start in these facilities, because they tend to get bigger.
Have you been able to look at the facilities enough to know if there's anything in common with the facilities that have seen these large numbers of cases and deaths?
I have not. I nothing has popped out as similar. A lot of these are nursing homes. So those are going to be, you know, you need nursing care around the clock. Some of these are assisted living, which are less intensive. And then in Jerome, and we had already reported on this, the group homes had been hit. And those are sort of fairly kind of independent living, but they're staffed. So, you know, there's nothing that jumps out as common among these except for that they are facilities that are staffed and these are very vulnerable people.
What about, have there, I'm assuming there have been facilities that have had no cases or at least low numbers of cases.
Yes, many. There have been many, many, at least as far as we know from the records. There are about 400 long-term care facilities operating in the state, according to Health and Welfare. So in this case, that's, we've only had 25 on this list. Now, one kind of caveat there is that the Medicare data that I mentioned has more facilities than are on the state's list. And I'm still trying to figure out why that is, because some of these had reported cases, you know, a week prior to when we received these records that were supposed to be up to date as of Friday. So I'm not sure why that is, but so the state's list of 25 nursing home and care facilities doesn't include some of the facilities that have reported to Medicare that they had cases. And so it may be more than 25.
But it certainly
is not all of them.
So then if those Medicare facility or Medicaid facilities, then there are, would they be reporting numbers if they had any cases to the federal government? I mean, or those cases, or if there are cases, we just don't know about them yet?
Well, one kind of piece of this, I guess, is that the Medicare information is reported directly by the facilities. So they're filing with the federal government. They're actually filing it to the CDC. The state information is coming from the regional public health districts, and those are the places where if you test positive, it gets, you know, the result goes to them. They start doing the contact tracing. They have their epidemiologists working on this. They are keeping track of who's infected, who they've been in contact with, and then keeping in regular contact with some of those people. So they're the ones who are reporting to the state. And I don't know why there's a mismatch there.
Mm-hmm. You know, Audrey, you had mentioned the families, right, of these people who are in the nursing facilities, who have lost loved ones in these places. I mean, whether they're residents or whether they're staff, because staff have also gotten sick and we know some staff have passed away. Have you heard anything from families who are frankly frustrated by the state's lack of transparency in this?
Honestly, the families that I've talked with, they're very appreciative. I need to say they're very appreciative of the staff at these facilities, but I think the frustration is not knowing the scope of the problem. So some families have said that they knew that there was a case or had been told of cases, but they didn't realize how big the problem was. We've also talked with families that it's just a horrible situation, and they've appreciated what the staff have done to help keep their loved ones as comfortable as possible. One of our reporters talked with the family of a woman who was at the Canyons in Twin Falls who passed away. She was a musician, they were not able to say goodbye for as long as you normally would, mm-hmm. just because of the restrictions on visitors and things like that. So, but I think in general, our role as reporters is to give as much information as possible to help people have the most context they can as they're making decisions about the state reopening? As they're making decisions about where their loved ones, if they start, if their, you know, elder loved ones need care, they need the most information they can get about what facilities are available and what's going on there. So our job is to make sure people have as much information as they can get. And we are doing our best to get that out there.
So, Audrey, what else are you hoping to learn from the state when it comes to this kind of information?
So as far as the nursing home information and assisted living, one of the things that I'm looking at is, did have these facilities had longstanding problems before? We know from national reporting that there have been cases where facilities had problems with infection control prior and then continued to have problems with infection control while there were active outbreaks. So I don't know if that's something that we'll be able to find out about the active outbreaks, but definitely hoping to look into what happened prior to this.
Well, Audrey, good work. Honestly, thank you for the work you're doing and for being tenacious on this. This is, as you said, this is critical information that people need to have when it comes to how we move forward as the state continues to reopen. So thank you for the work that you do.
Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. We've been talking with Audrey Dutton with the Idaho Statesman. We will share a link to her story about coronavirus deaths in Idaho nursing homes on our website. Also, speaking of coronavirus, this Wednesday, we will, of course, have our medical experts on Idaho Matters answering your questions. And remember, we always have a member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force on the program. If you have questions about COVID-19 here in our state or just a general question about it, send us your questions. You can do that by going to idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Leave us an email and we will get your question on the air to those experts. You're listening to Idaho Matters.